listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table.
Session on The Nasty Table.
I walk up to him and I uncuffed.
Are you serious?
How much of that was bullshit? Seriously, the whole thing? Come on.
That he killed her?
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to read him his rights or should I?
And if I point a gun at your head, then what?
Give it a shot, Sunset. See if I give half a fuck. You're not going to be handed things.
Seriously, Jerry, he's not a human, Jerry. We have our directive. We know where Winners is and we know that we have evidence against him there.
Look at all of this. The last few hours. That's criminal behavior.
Where the fuck is that cabin?
I don't know. Could I please have a recap of the last session?
No.
I don't think we've been confident in a single decision.
Yeah. This is definitely one of the least confident decisions, though, in my opinion.
If anything, this is like a safe... Or at least I feel like it's kind of a safe...
Like I'm
non-risky decision.
I think RJ is least likely to try to get out compared to Adkins, who's really gonna want to get out, and fucking Little Rocco.
But if we got people holding and watching them, and they have handcuffs on, then Jerry's not very worried.
Right.
RJ said that the grain was a conduit, whatever the fuck that means. He talks in fucking weird. Poetic ways.
Yeah, dude, that was like, and I wanted to like.
It's like Jalen Hurts at a press conference.
You got to be the conduit.
Put that grain in your knee. Put that grain in your knee. Push.
Because he never.
Do you think
what?
RJ also likes fat guys pushing on his butt? He never said what?
He never said like why he killed the girl. Right? Like, he never directly said that.
No, he didn't.
No, it's just
we didn't really ask.
It's a feeding it until I is we.
Possible avenues in order to figure out the location of this ranch. Which I'm surprised you guys haven't come up with some sort of nickname for.
The ranch? It's just a ranch, dog.
The Pedo Palace?
Ooh!
Hate
that. The CP cabin?
Oh, that one's better.
The cheese pizza cabin, that's crazy.
The fat forces on it, the cheese pizza cabin.
CP. You got one more. I know you got one more. You got one more.
What's that? Damn.
The Ronald McDonald's house.
The kid diddler den? What are the possible avenues in order to ascertain the location of this location?
The Ronald McDonald House, bro. That is like...
Molestation Mansion.
Oh! Whoa.
Nice.
Terrible. Fucked up.
Good one. Good one.
Thanks, man. Thanks, man.
Take a program point now. Do not. In fact, take one away.
Fuck. Yeah. In fact, put a gun to your head.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Do you want me to do this in character? Because that's literally what I was going to do next session.
Yeah, we'll do it in character.
I don't think there was anything left to really learn about, at least in that specific scenario.
Yeah, no, Caleb had another directive, and it wasn't in Ray's house.
I mean, I was down to fucking press the penalty sucked, but like I was down to press, but you guys didn't really seem down. Plus he was already like knocked out and had a concussion, so he'd probably be knocked out any second and we tortured him, but
yeah.
Oh my fucking god, do you guys remember in K-Cell when Nick tortured those two children? You literally brought him back to your apartment, tied him to a chair, and like pulled out his teeth with pliers.
What?
You guys remember that?
No.
Do you remember that?
Dude, I remember him fucking up some like.
Dude, it was like it was a vignette.
Was it bad?
It was a vignette.
Were we down here?
Yes, dude. He was a hitman, and remember he went to like he went to like this little thing, and he was looking for a guy who was selling heroin on like your crime family's block, and you were like, "Where'd you get the heroin from?" And he was like, "Pop did it. It was Pop." And
yep.
Dude, and you like he was like a 15-year-old kid. You laid down a tarp, sat him down
in
a chair.
Did I get what I wanted?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
you guys don't remember that? That was fucking.
That was Vito, right?
Vito got Vito got
him. No, no, Vito I remember Mr. experimenting on people in his basement.
That was sick.
Whoa, whoa.
That's true. I remember that
too. You weren't innocent either. Fucking burning your fridge and doing meth. That campaign was so fun, dude.
That was a good one.
And I remember when it was like Operation.
I might have pulled out his teeth, but I got what I wanted.
Operation Diablo, where like the Delta Green, like the organization set out a hit on all three of you. And I remember there was a scene where Nick's character like sees like two guys in suits pull up, and he's like, "All right, I grab my AR." Walk outside, like, keep him behind my back. And dude, just in the street, just, like, pulls out his gun and just pops the two guys. Finds a note on him that had, like, a hit on him.
Oh, yeah, because by the end of the campaign...
I was a mafia member.
We were all, like, doing shit that was, like, so, like, obvious. Because, like, Delta Green could just, like, suppress the shit for us. But, like, so you'd go in the fucking street killing motherfuckers. I brought a man home.
I was
and not a sexual manner.
And then there was like a ten. There was like
in a murdering him manner.
A 10-year skip, and you went on like Yahoo News like 10 years later. Oh, and it was like man at large for dead body found in house, like still not found.
Yeah, dude.
Listen, Vito might have done fucked up things, but your character was more fucked up than Vito. For
Clark
sure.
Stillman.
Vito. Yeah, Vito was. Deep down was a good guy, but he.
Clark Stillman, Cassius Coldwater,
and Vito Gatto. Yeah.
And he got straight awesome to the point.
Yeah. Got him into the C alliteration.
Cassius Coldwater, Caleb O'Connor. Yeah. Ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. So, with the LFVCU divided. Roy, Caleb, Jerry, you find yourselves behind the wheel of the PT Cruiser. Well, at least Roy behind the wheel and the rest of you in the seats. Ray, you are within your double wide with the people of interest who we have talked extensively about, as well as Aaron Lang. Sarge is at attention. First, I want to start with you guys in the PT Cruiser. What do you want to do? The doors close, the heat is on, the storm is still unrelenting.
Is this going to be a slow trip back to the station?
You might have to drive carefully.
Okay.
I'm not going to have you roll drive. You live in Minnesota. You've driven in the snow.
All right. Yeah, back to the station, right, guys? Unless anyone needs a straight stop to your house.
Take me back to my car.
All right.
If you check the car clock, it says 3:30 a.m. Straight back to the station?
Yes.
Okay. You make your way back to the station, driving through the streets. It's mostly clear. They've salted the road, so once you get off of the back road that leads to Ray's house... You're able to drive with absolutely no problem. There's still some slurry and slushy in the street, but you're able to make your way back to the station. The lights are on. Maybe if you can see from this distance, people are milling about. But Caleb and Jerry, your guys' car comes into view. You pull up.
Yeah, pull up into the lot and kind of like sandwich between their cars, at whatever the distance is. All right, so plan, right? I think we all need sleep.
Is it the best idea to have me out tonight?
To have you out?
I'll go home, get changed, come back here. Hell, I'll take a nap in the interrogation room. Those lock from the outside. Come get me when you're rested.
Who's gonna lock you in there? Is it one of those where you can, like, hit the lock and then shut the door?
No. Someone would have to lock it.
They wouldn't just lock automatically?
Roll lock. Because I'm falling in love with the idea of you having to get someone lock you in.
Ooh, 88 on a 39.
Would you like to reroll for a permanent 1d6 loss?
No. God damn, my luck's 39.
They need to be physically locked from the outside.
Okay.
Do you have to go home for anything?
Tell my wife where I'm at. Screw it. I guess I could give her a call.
All right. Let's get this over with, then. Let's walk in, right?
You got that?
Yeah.
See you guys tomorrow. I take off. Ouch.
In your car. No time. Pull out. Make your way home. Roy, Caleb.
I get out of the car, too, and I start walking towards the station.
Yeah, same.
Is there a change of, like, are there other, like, clothes in any way here?
You have been working here for a long period of time. It is absolutely within the realm of possibility that you have a change of clothes. Emergency set, in case you get dirty. Absolutely feasible.
Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, I'll walk in, right? Walk downstairs to my desk, pull out a drawer, and there's like a...
Just oh, you walk down in the VCU?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I walk down to my desk, too.
Yeah, you see the day shift, who right. is now the night shift. Your old partner, Mark Cannon. He looks up as you come down.
Hey, Mark.
Hey. You okay, Roy?
Long night, man, but might take off tomorrow. We'll see.
Captain Galloway walks out from Lieutenant Longo's office. Sergeant.
Hey, Captain. And I pull my drawer out at my desk and like grab like a plain like black t-shirt and like a pair of sweats.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Captain.
Coming in early?
No, actually, it's been a long night. It might be taken off tomorrow, if that's all right.
Sure, I'll let Glenn know.
Okay.
Great. Everything all right?
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks very much. You're here pretty early.
I'm the night shift now.
Oh, right. Sorry, I'm a little tired. I start walking away.
Okay, he doesn't say anything.
All right.
We have a phone that would be... out of earshot of a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Phone that I can find.
Yep.
Spin in my home number.
Spin it in. Do 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 do. Bring, bring. Bring, bring. I need everyone to leave the table except for Mike Finn.
Oh, fuck, man.
Mike Finn's in trouble.
The receiver clicks. Your mother's voice.
O'Connor residence.
Mom.
Hey.
It's Caleb.
Hey, sweetheart. How you doing?
You okay?
Yeah, you just woke me is all.
Yeah, Amelia, she awake her. Can you grab her?
I'm right here, sweetheart.
Can you just tell her, ended up working late. I apologize for for not calling.
It's okay, you don't need to call me.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Everybody in the house is okay?
It's just me, sweetheart.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay at the station for a little while. Is this my mom or my wife?
This is your mother.
Yeah, I'm just gonna be... working late tonight. You still think about Dad much?
Of course. I don't quite enjoy the idea of you calling me Amelia either.
Is that my mom's name?
No.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, yeah, just, I'm gonna be working late.
Sure. You didn't need to call.
Just wanted you to know that I was safe.
Sure.
Thank you. I hang up.
You hang up.
Is Sarge near me?
Do you go to Sarge?
Yes.
Okay. I will be right back and get them.
Okay.
An odd interaction.
I was confused because I said Amelia. That's why I asked. Okay, okay.
Mike Finn. Roy, you finish your interaction in the downstairs of the VCU, making your way back just as Detective O'Connor hangs up the telephone.
Okay, yeah, walk back over to Caleb, right, I assume on the phone, right?
Just hangs up.
Okay, all right, got some clothes for you.
I don't care. Eyes frantic, looking at you, we have to go. I think they found my family.
What? Your family?
Now.
All right, let's go.
I start walking out.
All right, I follow you, absolutely. But as I follow, I'm like, what do you mean, they're not at your house? Your wife is not home?
It was my mom, she answered. She didn't know her own name. I don't know if it was really her.
All right, let's go.
Get in my car.
Into your car.
No lights.
No lights.
How far am I from my house?
15 minutes, 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'll take my car separate and follow him.
Roy is walking towards his car. Do you stop him?
No, just no lights. Follow me, pull down the street.
No if there's lights.
Somebody, okay. If there's somebody in my house...
Okay, right.
I don't know I'm coming.
All right, let's do it.
Making your way back to your house. Roy, you're following him. Caleb, you pull out, probably pushing over the speed limit, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The roads twist and turn, and the lights of the street lights illuminate. And as you're driving past, quickly, rather quickly, you make your way to your house. Everything seems normal. Your wife's car is not in the driveway.
Park about four houses back, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Do I sergeant behind me?
Yeah, pull up right behind you.
Mm-hmm. Get out of the car slowly, a little bit crouched, gun out at my side.
Okay.
Crouched, walking to, do I have like front windows?
Yep.
In my house, any lights on that I see?
No.
Okay, no lights on in the house at all.
If you make your way over to the left of the house, which is where your mother's bedroom is, you can see the curtains are drawn, but it looks like there's a light on that's in there.
To my back porch. Sliding door, I think we established that.
Your house is your call.
Okay, sliding door on the back porch. Have a key for it.
Yep.
Unlock it.
Yep.
Slide it open. Silently.
Quietly. Roll stealth. Sarge, what are you doing?
If he's getting down, I'm getting down too. I want to observe the scene as best I can. Gun out. If okay. He's got his gun out too.
Okay.
68 on a 36.
And that's with the plus 20?
Yes.
It kind of gets stuck and you got to kind of jimmy it a little bit and you can hear like a slight rustle of the blinds for the back door. But it's not super loud.
Go in, I see my kitchen, a yep. Little bit of the living room.
Yep.
No movement.
Nothing.
Make my way, I guess it would be to the right then, for my mom's room.
Yep.
I'm straight following you. I say that, I'm straight following.
Door open?
Ajar.
Light on?
Yes.
Push it open with the barrel of the gun.
You look inside?
Yes.
Your mother looks up, scared. Sweetheart.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I just talked to you on the phone.
Why? Why didn't you know your name?
What?
Amelia. I said Amelia.
Yeah. Caleb, you need to sit down?
I put my gun away. Is that her name? What?
You have not heard her referred to by that name. I'm not sure how talkative Caleb is about his mother, but no.
Just, you're saying that that's your name?
Yes, that is the name that my father gave me.
That's not her name?
No. Okay. No.
Okay. My
sweetheart, I can put the kettle on. You need to relax. You look very high strung and you're scaring me.
My wife.
Your wife?
Where is she? Her car is not.
Caleb. You're starting to sound like your father, please. So let's sit down, please.
What are you saying? She was here. Where is she?
Caleb.
Did she go out?
Sweetheart, you haven't a wife. You haven't any kids. And you're starting to frighten me. Please.
I turn around. I walk back out of the room to my closet.
You enter your room. And there is a full-size bed with one set of pillows.
I go through the closet.
It's only your clothes. No, that's not right. Her clothes should be in here. They're right there. No, wait. No, that's... That's not right.
Well, I sit down on the edge of my bed.
Roy, what are you doing?
Roy knows that he has a wife, right?
Yeah, you've never met her before, but he talks about her all the time.
Right.
I sit down on the edge of the bed. I burn into my brain. Think about that first time I met her in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. Clear as day.
Yeah. Wedding day.
Beautiful. Everyone was there.
The one time we went apple picking.
First kiss. Stargazing. Your wedding album. It's right under your bed.
Look under the bed.
Empty.
You alright, buddy?
Your mother shuffles into the hallway, opens the door, looks at you. Caleb, roll sanity for me.
...27 on a 36.
You're still gonna lose 2 points of sanity. You need a rest, son. Please lie down.
I'm under the bed when she approaches in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Turn around quickly. Gun out, pointed at her.
She looks shocked.
What do you mean I was sounding like Dad?
Caleb.
I'm like, whoa, whoa.
Please.
What do you mean? Say it.
Your father? No, you are confused now, and it's okay, it's fine. Look, you're safe. I'm here. It's okay.
I moved here. Why'd I move here? I moved here because of her. Why'd we come here?
You said it was for work.
I didn't have a job till we got here.
You have a phone book, ma'am?
Yes. It's in the kitchen, next to the drawer. Caleb, take time, breathe. I'm gonna put the kettle on. Just relax. She shuffles out next to you.
What's going on, dude? What's happening?
Oh. You believe me, right?
I know. You're well and married, man.
Thank you. Look down at my hand.
Not a wedding ring in sight.
You've seen one on this finger, right?
Absolutely.
Come to think about it.
Wait a minute.
Your house party. She was there. She came with me.
Caleb said she was sick.
She wasn't there, man. What's your mom's name?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
What is my mom's name?
She dips beneath the lasers. I don't know. What's your mom's name? Rick.
Charles.
George.
Destiny. I don't know. I don't know if I named my mother.
Shady Nasty.
But she called herself a name that is not her name.
No, that's my wife's name.
And now it's your mom's name?
You sick fuck.
So now it's his mom's name? Is that what just happened?
You don't know.
What's your mom referring to herself as, man?
I think back to the night we were questioned after the storage locker. It was me and Ray. We were standing there giving our statements. My finger was going against the gun.
And your wedding ring was tapping against it. Yeah.
And it was.
Was it?
I think back to the time I met my wife. What year does it feel like it was? What can I remember about the day?
You think back on it and you can remember the moment, but no, it wasn't. It wasn't there. Now it sets in and it hurts and it's confusing and it's scary and it's your heart racing. It's a dream. And quickly it's fading.
Turn to Roy. Gun still out. Get the fuck out of my house.
I start to step back. Alright, man. Alright. Look. I want to make sure you're okay. Alright? We came here for a reason. We went to the station together for a reason. Alright? Let's at least go check the phone book or something.
I'll be fine. Get out. Get out!
Alright. I start to walk out.
You run into his mom in the kitchen?
Yeah. I'm like, ma'am, sorry. What's your name?
Amelia. Could you bring this to Caleb? She hands you a cup with hot tea in it.
I think I best be going. If that's alright with you.
Okay.
So does Roy remember his wife's name?
Caleb said it was Amelia.
Alright, thanks very much. I get in my car and I speed the fuck home.
Okay. We're gonna jump back to Ray. Ray, within the double wide, you find yourselves just as they are leaving. It is you, Aaron Lang, Greg Atkins, RJ, and little Laraka, along with Sarge. You just finished making a pot of coffee. Would you like to have this session privately? Or this moment? It's completely your call. Don't feel bad about sending them out. They're big boys.
Yeah, I got him.
I'd like everyone to leave the table except for Chup. Oh, yeah.
He's like, I gotta leave this place.
To,
this
is fucked. To establish Bastian Becker was driven back with Jerry. Jerry, you brought Bastian Becker back to his motel.
I did?
You did.
Way to go, Jerry.
Being a good DD.
What time is it?
3:30.
Okay. Coffee's ready.
Thanks, detective. He steps up, grabs the pot, opens up the lid of the coffee maker, looks towards you.
I know what he does, right?
He's waiting for any kind of approval.
Just, I don't care, man.
Splash, 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 splash. Pours it in the top, puts it back down, opens it up, pours some more grounds in, closes it, hits a button.
I
to the rest of the room. Like, y'all want some coffee?
RJ looks up. No, I think I'm gonna get some sleep.
Adkins?
Yeah, please.
Okay. How about you, to LaRocca?
No. No, I don't want any coffee.
You want a water or something?
No, nothing. Not from you, at least.
Suit yourself.
Aaron Lang catches you, kind of motions over for a sidebar.
What's up?
I gotta know, Ray. Is this happening? Is this all really happening?
You're asking me if this is real.
Not literally real, but everything that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Ray, it fits. It tracks everything.
I know. But there's more. There's... Give me a minute. I gotta talk to Arja.
Okay. He goes back to manning the coffee pot.
Yeah, I pull up like a, you know, kitchen table chair. I pull it right up next to RJ.
Yeah.
And I guess so Adkins is the only one that's like really close proximity if I sit right next to RJ,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, he's like across the way in a chair.
Okay. So I want to... this whole conversation I'm about to have with RJ is... I don't want to say it's whispering, but it's going to be like...
low volume?
Pretty hush.
Okay.
Pretty hush.
Who are you trying to exclude from this conversation?
I'm just trying to talk to RJ, but I'm not going to whisper. That's my...
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so...
like,
if
Adkins catches
you...
whiff, in Ray's head, he's like, you know what? Fucking Adkins has been...
right.
Embroiled in shit, and he's fucked. Yeah. So, dead man walking, kind
of. LaRocca is far enough where he won't be able to hear this conversation, though.
Yeah, cool. That's cool.
You pull up the chair. RJ looks at attention.
You can relax. We're all getting tired.
So it seems.
You know I really don't care about this like the others. You know that. I know you made that clear.
Yeah.
So, do you know?
Here's a question of my own. If you want to answer it, and that may depend, or decide, I should say, on the answer that I will give to you. What's her name? I want you to say her name. You need to hear it, and so do I.
Yeah, I miss her.
What is her name? High Noon.
I miss both of them. Lar and my brother.
See those names?
No, but do you know what my name is?
Yes. Names are funny, and you are not the only one who's hiding yours. Names have a way of collecting dust, but some people can tell when those names haven't collected dust. You never let yours collect any. Or hers. Or his. You're close. I can tell you you're close. And whether you want to hear it or not, you are very, very close. And you have been close for a long time, High Noon.
I know I am. I just get a little antsy because, you know, you don't want to drop the bag because you were nervous, you know?
Sure, you would have dropped the bag quite some time ago.
Listen, you heard me say it in front of all of them. I am a criminal.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you are.
Yeah, but I'm the one to own it. I'll admit it to anyone. So you know I'm the most willing to cut a deal with anyone in this room. You gotta help me get him, his uncle.
That's not what you're looking for.
What do you think I'm looking for, then?
The man behind the gun.
The man that killed...
Oh, yeah.
My family.
Oh, yeah.
They're all killers.
Sure, sure.
Any one of those faces could and would do that again if his uncle ordered him to. I'm here for the head of the snake, RJ. That's what I've been doing for years. And I'm so ready to just get it and be done with this. And just put my weapons down.
Why? Do you see yourself as a vigilante? Savior, maybe?
I couldn't save anyone.
Mm-mm.
I guess it's kind of like when a, you know, victim of a crime, a girl gets raped or something, she sees her perpetrator get locked up, you know? Feels good to see some consequence for your actions. And I know mine are coming. I just have to give someone what they deserve before I lay down my arms and accept what's coming to me.
You know what's interesting is I think about it a lot. These stories of pagan converts to Christianity. This is during the Dark Ages. Most often it's these warrior kings, you know, these Celtic kings and tribal chieftains. They would listen to the story of Christ's crucifixion, and without missing a step, every single one of these, and these are historical records, every single one of them says the same exact thing. They say, if I was there, I would have saved them. King Clovis, he was a Frankish king. He was visited by this bishop who told him about the teachings of Christ and Christ's death, and when the bishop was done, King Clovis was so excited, so enthusiastic. He jumped up and down, he said, if my men were there, we would have saved them. We would have cut down that cross and we would have saved them. And that's historically referenced multiple times. That's a base human instinct to want to save people. So I don't blame you. But this is gonna go a little too far. I'll warn you now. You wanna cut the head off the snake? You know how many snakes are there. So do I. I worked for one.
You don't think I, Leo Morrison, haven't already gone too far?
Not considering what you're going to do. That's a different level. I've seen it. She talks to me, right? Dreams, sort of. But you can dream when you're awake, right? One could argue that you're constantly dreaming. Just constantly sleepwalking, traveling through a dream and a dream. And they're visions, and I've seen them. Ray, Leo, it doesn't matter, High Noon. I've seen them. But they're not prophetic visions. They're changing, often shifting, and it's more how I think of things, where things are. He motions over to the white bread. I knew that white bread was going to be there because it's always been there at this point in time. And I've seen it there a million times before. Like my note that I wrote to her, it's like deja vu. And it's hard to explain. But when you've experienced an exact moment before, like you're rewatching it, like I am now, it's like watching a movie for a second time. And maybe you forget some parts.
and maybe a twist still surprises you. Okay, but you can't shake that feeling that you know how it ends. You've seen it before. When it's done, the curtains draw, everybody goes home, goes to the parking lot, goes to their cars, and drives home. So when I tell you that no, you have not gone too far yet, I want to put as much emphasis as possible on that yet.
I don't know, RJ. I really don't see how there's much farther for me to go, how far I've really come. I gave up everything.
I know who killed them.
I live in a shit trailer. I could die right here. I don't...
High Noon. Stop. High Noon, stop.
Doesn't matter, man.
I know.
I don't really care who did it. I told you.
Really?
I want John. And I have to, like, whisper scream, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh my god, I'm getting worked up. I want John, man.
Okay. Well, John will be there, if that's what you wanted to know. He will.
Are you... You promise?
On my heart.
What about him? What's up with him?
LaRocca?
Little.
Tiny, tiny kid.
You've been with him a lot?
Not as much as you would think, or as much as he would lead on. I've been around him. Yeah, but... And he looks at him, and he's kind of looking at him like... Almost disgusted. Curling his upper lip. I don't know. He's a kid. And he really doesn't know a lot. You want to use him as leverage, go ahead, but... He's not going to give you anything of any kind of merit.
He knows who Caleb is.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
Well... The reason... You know why... Parallels with a lot of other reasons. You know a lot of things, but... Why does he know him?
See, this is going to surprise you because I don't know Caleb for any other reason. I know Caleb for the same reason that he does. And I've been saying it during this whole conversation. I know who killed them.
No, you're not fucking serious, are you? He did... Does he know? Well, he doesn't know who I am. If I told him my name, would he know?
That's a question you gotta take up with him.
I'm not doing it.
Then don't.
Because if I do it, I'm gonna kill him. And I don't want to do that with company.
You just think on what I said about yet. You haven't pushed the line yet.
So you're telling me he's been doing this? For 8 years?
Longer. Oh, longer. Way longer. Don't hold it against him. But he was there that night. He pulled the trigger.
But... Listen, what I saw that made that happen...
I
was
know.
Not him.
I know. Oh, I know. I believe it.
So then how... You're telling me he's working with them at a point? He was with them? Are you telling me that?
He's been with them the whole time! The entire time!
Just shit.
And he, like, speaks up and Aaron Lang kind of, like, peeks
over. I know,
over.
That's why I'm like... Mm-hmm. I'm like...
Why do you think LaRocca's been sneaking glances at him this entire time?
I know. You make it all so clear, man.
That's your burden to bear.
I
I don't know, man.
You have caught yourself in a conjuncture of many different moving parts. You are a comet on a crash course on two intersecting galaxies. You are not supposed to be here. You will not survive this. That's my final warning.
I always told myself I died a long time ago. So however it goes down, so be it.
He just looks at you.
But it's fun when it gets all wild and exciting and crazy, isn't it?
Smiles wide. Yes, it is. And that is where we're going to pick up next session.
Wait, hold on. We need to have a minute chat first.
We will. We'll have a minute.
Thanks for listening to this episode of LFVCU, a Nasty Table production. Please be sure to follow us on social media. We're active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok at The Nasty Table.